Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That, and this is a podcast where we take the pastor or the speaker aside, and we just kind of ask them what would they have kind of spent an extra 10 minutes on, and we just want to remind you that this is not a replacement for the sermon, this is a supplement, so this is supposed to go along with the sermon. You're going to get a whole lot more context if you actually go back and listen to the sermon. So, I am sitting here with
Rafael Mukanza.
And my name's Tyler Henry. So, Rafael, yep. You had 10 extra minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What would you have kind of dove a little bit deeper into?
Yeah, so my, you know, that sermon on Sunday, and this is one of the things that I really love about just preaching through, you know, I love just how we are so committed to really going into every passage. So this one kind of left me a little bit more heavy in terms of just really meditating on, man, this is how God wants and takes it personal when the image of God is not stewarded right, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think what I could have gotten stuck in that whole, I think I spent almost like 7 minutes to 8 minutes at the beginning, kind of laying some ground of like where we are.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, just really, really looking at, I've always wondered why all the catechisms just began with, you know, why catechisms actually really had this question. What is your only comfort in life and death?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is that I am not my own, but I belong to him, right? Just really like seeing how countercultural that is, where most of our problems in society and most of our problems, just even personally, is stem from actually not really understanding that whole idea that I am not the one who's in charge of setting my own dignity. My own, I am created, so therefore I'm not my own.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can start from there, then everything else actually flows through. So so I really would even want to just really just to maybe spend a little bit more time showing how even as Christians, most of our sanctification issues are really grounded more in, I am not my own. He is not his own. She is not his own. You know, and just really thinking about whether last week was a big week for the whole devotion, the abortion,
mm-hmm.
Debate. And yes, Roe v. Wade was overturned. But like just looking and just saying, you know, here we are arguing over, you know, humanity. Who's human, who's not? And so really that whole idea. So I am not my own. So the Heidelberg Catechism, that question, first question says, what is your only comfort in life and death? I am not that. And the answer is that I am not my own, but belong, listen to this, body, soul, in life and in death, to my Savior, Jesus Christ. And listen to this. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, right? And he has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in ways that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation because I belong to him. Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of the eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. So really, at the end of the day, just going against almost like a Christianity that has become so syncretistic, syncretism, a mixture of the counter cultural kind of idea, that's like going against Christianity, that no, you are your own, you determine your destiny, you know what I mean, like, and so therefore humanity is so steeped in anxiety. 2 Corinthians says that you are led astray by your own desires. Mm-hmm. And Romans and all the just scriptures, even James says you're corrupt because of your own tensions that are inside, your quarrelings inside within you. So once we settle that I'm not my own, all of a sudden, then dignity becomes almost like something that's provided. That way Kilner says that like dignity is something that is imparted, conferred, bestowed by someone else other than us. It's actually like what he would say, a foreign dignity. It's like it's conferred by God. So therefore I don't determine my own dignity. I have no right to place value on another human soul. And so therefore now to belong to Christ is to find our existence in him, and then to live transparently before God and to honor other people, to be limited and restrained by him. He is the one who determines my obligations, my virtues, my loves, my, like, all that stuff at the end of the day. Yeah, like, it's, so with all that said, so, you know, I'm reading through 2 Corinthians again. Mm-hmm. So that sermon led me, I was kind of quoting 2 Corinthians quite a lot, but led me back into 2 Corinthians again, where, listen, I quoted this, he says this, like, in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us, for we have reached this conclusion that one died, and therefore all have died, right? All died. And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised.
Mm-hmm.
So forget the world. Let's just come into the church. Why should I treat myself with dignity? Why should I treat the other with dignity? Let's just start in the church. And why should I treat the other person who maybe might not have their act together, who's not a believer? Because a creation, we're not our own. We're created. But then also at redemption, we're not our own. So I have no right to live the way I want to live, indulge anything and do all that. You see what I mean? Like And I have no right to mistreat another image bearer. Like, I have to make sure that God is the one who's dictating all that. So yeah, that's my 10 minutes there. I don't know. This just feels like a book that needs to be written, as if all these other guys, they just kind of like, There was just so much in that. Well,
I mean, when it comes to, like, just throwing that out there, like, if you're listening to this and you're like, you know, who's this guy Kilner? Then, because you bring him up in the sermon as well.
Yeah.
So he wrote a book called Dignity and Destiny.
Yeah.
And which, you know, I stumbled upon it, and then you're like, if I would have recommended this one to you. So I'd like to recommend it to you guys that are listening, specifically because it's eye-opening. It changed the way that I look at other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was really a cool there's no dichotomy, I should say. There's no dichotomy between the body and soul with the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
That, because, I mean, Paul was talking and writing a lot towards sometimes, like, this Gnostic way of looking at things.
Yeah.
Especially in 1 Corinthians 15, how there's not this spiritual side of Jesus' resurrection. There's a physical side as well, and that's, like, he puts on the incorruptible, the incorruptible body, which is still a physical body. So, what does it look like to live in light of that? In light of what Christ is the first fruits of?
Yeah. That's now, like, more, and even just now when you, the reason why I was immersing myself in 2 Corinthians is because he just keeps on hammering on that, like, just the fact that, like, okay, if Christ is the first fruits and he is the, Romans 8:29 is going to say he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son so that he may be the firstborn, right? Mm-hmm. The first. So Jesus is like our older brother.
Mm-hmm.
Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who live, right? The one who, that it says that, like, the life that I now live, which is like the now part, is like now onwards. It just means living a life that, like, basically there is no room for neutrality for any soul.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give yourself to someone, something. And if it's not God, it's... You see what I mean?
Yeah, so there's men can serve two masters.
Yeah, yeah. So at the end of the day, like, it's either we cast ourselves fully towards God. It's just loving him with all our mind, all our heart, all our soul, with everything we are, submitting all that. 2 Corinthians was talking about even casting all, like, what you call it, like, arresting every thought that wants to exalt itself above the knowledge of Christ. And basically, like, everything, whether it's my body, whether so we can't keep on saying, hey, my body, my choice kind of deal. And which is, it is literally become the foundation for it. And the million things, I'm not only talking about abortion, I'm just talking about, like, literally, like, we can decide. No one can define who a man is or a woman is or whatever. And then so really at the end of the day, what it looks like is that we're saying the whole Christ redeeming the whole you.
Yeah.
So that at the end of the day, everything submitted underneath him, he then becomes the one who becomes the ruler over all. So that now, my whole life, like the catechism says, now I belong to him, Christ. Like, this is the, everything leads me to a wholehearted posture of living ready to follow him, even into places that don't feel like, man, I'm struggling with this. I guess we get to be, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, but I'm still going to follow you because this is who you are, right? And then just, so yeah, that's at the end of the day, that's what I would say, where we have to start from there. I am not my own.
Mm-hmm.
I belong. And there, kind of like, and then just even there, it says that he's fully paid for all my sins. He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that no hair can fall from my head. Right? And it just really, like, now I submit myself even in, we like to try to, what I would say, even not submit even the worst moments or the worst temptations or the worst, like, everything now is underneath him. So now we are called to now submit ourselves fully to him. That's what I would say. That's what it looks like. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely agree. But one of the things that I was that I wrote down is like, because you touched on verses 21 through 25, and you hit pretty hard on some of those.
Mm-hmm.
Especially coming out of Foster Awareness Month.
Yeah.
And the widows and the fatherless children and things like that. But one of the things that I wrote down just with that whole chunk, 21 to 25,
yeah,
is that when we view the image of God in terms of how, or in terms of the attributes that man has currently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that.
Then we're going to do the exact same things that's being listed here in Exodus. We're going to kill people. We are going to enslave people. We're going to oppress, and to just quote verse 21, we're going to oppress the stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to see ourselves as the pinnacle of the image of God, and everybody else that is not like us is going to be less than the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, because the image is in Genesis called to be like the subduer of creation, anything less than the image of God is therefore able to be subjected to, or in subject of the image. But if we see all of humanity as co-equal, as image bearers, that's going to level that playing field, and therefore oppression, slavery, abortion, all of that goes away, because we see anything that's human as uniquely dignified, because they are human.
So some of that stuff now has to come back to let's go. So one of the things that I just like, I love about that book, Dignity and Destiny, is that Kilner goes against the whole idea that when man has fallen, like man has fallen, and so between Genesis chapter 2 and all the way to Genesis chapter 9 is literally all the descriptions of like the terribleness that's there, like what man has done, like where brother kills brother, Lamech is bragging on killing a lot of people, and then just like all these things are happening all the way to like almost like Sodom and Gomorrah, all that stuff is going on. But in Genesis chapter 9, after God, in Genesis chapter 9, God says this, I will require penalty for your livelihood. If for lifeblood, I will require it from many. He says, verse 6, whosoever sheds human blood, by human blood, his blood will be shed. For God made humans in his image, but you be fruitful and multiply. He's now talking to Noah, right? Establishing the Noahic covenant, but God is still affirming what? The image of God there. Even towards Noah, like Noah's going to go up and screw up, get drunk, right?
Do some detestable things.
Do some stuff. Like, and then, right. Like, you were watching God still keeping and affirming the image of God. One of the things that you still see is God continuing even after Noah to affirm the image. So, you know, so now...
And the image isn't broken.
So
there's no mention of it.
Yeah, there's no mention of it. As in like, they're now less than. Our now, what that helps us with is to recognize that the image of God remains intact. But the attributes of those people are the ones that are not reflecting. Because like when Kilner is talking about, he's talking about connection and reflection.
I was just about to bring that up.
Connection and reflection. We are not like almost like, so it's not that like it's a, which is really like almost, I would almost like say, it's almost like a mirror that is, the mirror doesn't stop being a mirror, but the mirror maybe if you put peanut butter on it, it kind of just gets like oily or whatever it is. And just like, so man is still connected with God, like, but that connection is not as strong, which is what Christ comes to restore. And that it's almost like that shining, that mirror, Christ comes back, reshines, restores, and then it like now we can literally like behold the glory of God. So What that does for mission is that it changes the posture that we have. When now it becomes, their temptation was to look at foreigners, to look at widows and orphans, to look at like those that were poor and all those as if they were now less than.
Mm-hmm.
And actually not still look at them as in like, man, you are not defined by your worst moments and situations and your attributes. You are still what? Mm-hmm. You're still equal, co-equal image bearer. And so therefore, what that does is that like that now should be what should shape our mission today. The same way that Hans Reinders kind of said it, that humanity being made in the loving eyes of God, there are no marginal cases of being human, mm-hmm. right? That's, if we can do that, then what that simply means is this. Probably this is actually like, I wanted to ask this question, but I left it for more than that. You know what it's like when you walk into someone's life and you walk out and you've been dignified.
Mm-hmm.
When you've been respected. You know when you walk into someone's life and you walk out and you felt treated like an ant.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You were not dignified. That hurts.
It hurts to the core. It's not just a surface hurt that you can shake.
Yeah. It's you've been dehumanized.
Yeah.
Anytime you feel less than. And you know that. I know that. Mm-hmm. I've faced racism. I've faced tribalism. I've faced povertyism. You see what I mean? Like all that stuff. I know what it's like to go begging and like needing something and feeling as if like I'm literally the scum.
Mm-hmm.
Like just that gum that's been heated by the sun 90 degrees and now you're trying to scrape it off the ground. That's I've just felt, you know what it feels yeah. like. What I would say, because of Christ, because of God and creating us in his image and Christ renewing us, there should never be a moment like that in a Christian's mm-hmm. life where someone walks in and walks away feeling indignified.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not only that, the church, there should probably never be a moment when, and when you're reading all these passages about what, church discipline and confronting one, restore one another in gentleness, mm-hmm. win, if you talk to him, win a brother, like there should never be a moment when someone walks away feeling as if they've been undignified.
Yeah.
Like, right? And then there's just almost like, and you watch even Paul even talking, brothers. Even when he's talking about anathema, he's still talking about them as brothers.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a way in which, you know. So, anyway. Yeah. So that for me, I think should actually be what affects the culture.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's a really, really good way to end that.
Yeah, yeah.
And just to kind of end the whole thing. And just like leave it hanging so that it's not just like, you know, you mentioned very explicitly, I haven't heard you say it in a while, but that Jesus meets us where we're at, but he doesn't leave us there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You haven't mentioned that in a while, but I think I want to leave it there and let Jesus take it from there.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for that. Guys, if remember, this is a supplement to the sermon. This is not a replacement of. But if you have a question regarding this podcast or even the sermon, please let us know. You can call, you can email, you can send us a Facebook message or a message on Instagram. Get a hold of us some way, shape, or form. And thank you again so much, guys, for listening. We'll see you next week.